Hey everybody, Aaron Herman of the Open Scroll here. Today is Sunday, November 20th, just a little after 12 p.m., which means we're now on the 25th day of the 8th month on the Lord's calendar, and I'm here with Bob Schlenker.
Yeah, hey, what a great day it is. We got Thanksgiving week, and that's a good time of the year to recognize God's bounty in our lives in all kinds of ways. So one thing we have in abundance today is stuff to talk about. Interesting stuff to talk about. Yeah. Real, real interesting stuff to talk about. So you can see on screen, we've got a book called Midnight Strikes, Judgment Unleashed. And this was on Aaron's mind as soon as he found out about it. And it just didn't go away. And he was thinking, probably need to get that. We talked about it a couple times, I guess. And he's like, yeah, I really need to get that. And so he's almost done reading it. Not quite, but I figure now's the time. So we're going to talk about that. And Aaron has selected some pretty interesting pages and taken some pictures. And Aaron, I'd like you to kind of walk us through this and take your time and share with us why this is so interesting now.
Very good, sir. Yeah, kind of set the context here. This book came about through conversations that Daniel Holdings had with Steve Quayle. And Daniel Holdings wrote the book based on a lot of things that Steve said, and there were a lot of predicated on a lot of the things that Jesus showed Steve in kind of a panoramic view of history back when Steve first got saved and kept bringing to mind as they were getting close to coming to pass. So the first couple hundred pages, very interesting stuff, but then we get here to the latter part of the book, especially right around page 278, really starting to get into our wheelhouse with the altering of reality, the manipulation of space and time, frequency, vibration, and how that plays into a lot of the things we're experiencing now in these days. So as you can see here, page 278, they go through kind of a description of kind of a great deception and things that are going on with fallen angels and the incursion into this reality and the impact that they're having. But what really stands out is the shifting reality, where they're starting to get into the focus of reality being altered, time and space. And so that's where we'll pick up here. And you can see they start a discussion regarding vibration and resonance. And he says, at the risk of sounding like New Agers, there is a vibration, a resonance in everything. This is not spirituality, it's just plain physics. And that's true. You know, everything vibrates and has a frequency, and as we'll go on to see, it's an important part of their discussion and what we're experiencing here. So we want to go to the next page. And we kind of skip down. So the point is that resonance is part of everyday life. In fact, there is a particular frequency in which the electromagnetic field of the Earth traditionally oscillates, and it's called the Schumann resonance. And then they quote this here, Schumann resonance has been a natural and constant frequency of planet Earth, pulsating exactly at 7.83 hertz for thousands of years. For the ancient Indian Rhesus, this number had a special meaning. It was considered the sacred and cosmic sound in the Hindu religion. For the Western world, the Schumann resonance represents the frequency of the Earth's electromagnetic field. It has always concentrated at 7.83 hertz, with a few variations since 1952. But in June of 2014, there was a change. This was when the Russian Space Observatory System showed a sudden increase in activity, with a varied elongation from 8.5 hertz to 16.5 hertz. So, and that's a huge deal, as we were discussing in the preparation of this video. Changing the frequency changes the fundamental nature of everything that's going on.
Indeed. Harmonics, everything. Interference waves, everything.
And they go on to say here, it is because of this understanding that the frequency which permeates everything around us has traditionally been a constant 7.83 hertz, that one could be startled at a recent Q alert posted on Steve Quayle's website. So we'll go to the next image here. And this is that alert, and the title of that alert was, "Are you noticing people going crazy around you and physical effects in your own body and mind? Here's one of the reasons." Hello, Steve. The frequency or resonance of the magnetic field of the Earth is changing. This is indeed unusual for many reasons. One, the stable frequency for many years has been 7.83 Hz. Two, now it has jumped to 16.5 Hz, with jumps even more to 30 Hz, which is the nominal primary clock frequency of the human brain. I knew that the Russians had logged 8.5 Hz to 16.5 Hz, but all global observers were shocked at the jump up to 30 Hz for the primary resonance of the Earth's magnetic field on the various lines it follows. After seeing some odd things inside, my curiosity demanded that I take it outside to see what was shaking, so to speak. Lots indeed is shaking, because people who have the exact same body clock frequency as the magnetic energy fields will begin to have trouble in their bodies and also potentially lose control of various nerve-related functions. This is another new reality which people must now face, but again, it is just another topic no one cares about or wants to talk about. This means that planet-wide things are indeed happening. Also, it is very interesting that many of the unusual earthquakes are triggering on the clock boundaries of the magnetic resonance frequency in perfect time with the changes. I'm not telling you this to cause any worry or panic, but it is very significant that the whole planet is groaning as it sings its unique praise song to God, the Creator. Also, FYI, the ley line energy levels changed as well, and there are new, goofy-sounding, ultra-low frequency audio signals as well. God bless you always and keep you safe, Doc. So this change in frequency is a scientific fact which has been documented. And apparently Steve calls this the geomagnetic madness, and for good reason. And we'll go to the next page here as they continue their discussion. They talk about the madness of folks and everything that's going on and the impact it's having. And aside from the spiritual end days reasons for this attitude, there is a physical reason for this behavior. It is the fact that the frequency of everything all around us in the magnetosphere has changed. And as science has noted, it's making people crazy. And then they quote this article from Stuart Best of LightGateBlogger.com, who wrote, "Many people the world over are having more and more sleep problems, along with many reports of bizarre human behavior, of people, quote-unquote, losing it or snapping. You see it on the TV news almost every day, and people are on edge, tense, nervous, and angry. It is my personal belief that the changing magnetic environment is the cause of most of this. At the same time all of this is going on, lawlessness is breaking out the world over, and especially in the United States. Is it all related? You decide. It seems like a perfect storm as we approach the deepest part of the solar minimum and the protective shield of the solar winds disappearing, and no one knows how much they will deteriorate. And as Dr. Paul Laviolette warned, this would be catastrophic for Earth. The Bible is very clear that at the end of the age, a strong delusion will be cast upon humanity for their rejection of Jesus Christ. But how does this work, and are we being given clues because frequency and the human brain and our feelings are all tied together? Remember that everything is tied directly to frequency, vibrations, and energy. And now, thanks to quantum physics, we know that all of this is now called fields or waves." And skipping down to the bottom, Stewart's connecting of this change in frequency to the end times strong delusion in the Bible is an astute observation and one that should be seriously considered. Further, this change in frequency has only just started. As you will see, Earth changes below the ground and in our atmosphere are responsible for this harmonic resonance change. And Steve and Daniel Holdings continue on with this conversation. So in the next image here, they go on later to tie that in with CERN and the opening of the abyss and releasing of the fallen angel. So we're jumping ahead a few pages. We're 288 here in the book. And this is kind of the conversation back and forth between Daniel and Steve that they've documented here. The section called Opening the Abyss. "Steve, as you know, I wrote about CERN in my Cooper Chronicles series, and although that's a fictional series, I did extensive research on CERN, and specifically the Large Hadron Collider, the LHC, which sits on the border of France and Switzerland. And Steve says, right. There's lots of crazy stuff that has gone on with that campus over the years, and you've documented much of it. I've come to the understanding, and I think you'll agree, that CERN, and specifically the LHC, is the new Tower of Babel. What do you think the LHC really is? And then Steve responds, I believe it's the master key or master lock that will unlock all of the stargates around the world. You've heard the reports, the weird ceremonies, the human sacrifice that was caught on tape. That sacrifice was later said to be fake, but it wasn't fake. It was absolutely real. And why would you want to fake something like that anyway? It was real. And do you remember when they were dedicating that tunnel between the two cities? They had that occult dance with the devil. And Daniel responds, yep. And then they referenced the Gothard Base Tunnel, and that's a railway tunnel through the Alps in Switzerland that we gave some coverage to back in the day with everything they had going on. And Steve goes on to say, so CERN is the master lock. They weren't looking for the God particle. They're looking for the power of God. Obviously, they're not going to find the power of God, but their efforts are of fallen men following fallen angel direction, is the point. That direction is for the purpose of freeing those fallen angels that have been held in captivity for thousands of years. In addition, they fled through the gates to avoid Noah's flood. In the course of that retreat, they could not save their children, i.e., the giants, the Rephaim, but they're coming back to reanimate their children. Does that make sense? And that's a lot of good observation and points there, but the one thing Steve fails to point out is the time component, the fact that this isn't just a master lock, it's a time lock, and that's a crucial takeaway.
70 generations is the full span of time, and if you do your research, you find that that's still some ways off in the future, any way you want to calculate it. And the only way to get there from here, really, is to advance time and spring that time lock. And this is something that we've had some insight about since 2011, right?
Right. And back in 2012, you wrote the Clockwork Angels and Time Truncation Mission posts on the blog.
Yep, they're still up if you're interested. Next page.
Next page. And continuing on, this is page 289, so we're continuing on with the conversation. And Daniel picks up, sure, and I've written about some of this stuff, but I think there's even something more about CERN. Something is going on. The problem is that we don't understand the effects of their experiments on our 3D world. As an example, earlier in this book, I detailed how the Internet, or World Wide Web, started on the CERN campus. That is no coincidence. So you have this whole idea that they are basically trying to, and I'm paraphrasing what you're saying, loose the gates of hell. But then in the background, there's this strategy, and I believe it's a strategy to imprison the whole world through the surveillance and interaction web of the Internet. And that's only two things that this quote-unquote campus of CERN is responsible for. Who knows what else is going on that we don't see? And Steve says, well, let me put it this way. It's the cerebral cortex for the entire satanic blueprint in the devil's attempt to be omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. Well said. I think you're onto something. I also think that there are all kinds of byproducts of their efforts that are affecting our world, whether intentionally or unintentionally. And at this point, Steve says, no, Daniel, they mean to do what they're doing. It's not unintentional. They're trying to ruin the world, at least the people at the top of CERN are. Individual scientists may not know what they're doing at the beginning because the organization uses Special Compartmentalized Intelligence, or SCI, security clearances, which limits the individual scientist's knowledge about the extent of the project they may be working on. This is a modular approach, which limits their knowledge toward the entire project. That means that they're working on one part of the project and have no idea about the evil intent of the whole of CERN. And then Steve continues, but it's not just CERN in the LHC. There are these types of machines and experiments going on in other countries around the world. The LHC is the largest that we know of, but as an example, even the Arab nations have an atom smasher. Get this, their collider is called Sesame. Okay, on to the next. And then Daniel kind of picks up on where Steve's going and says, that's weird, as in open sesame. You got it, exactly like that, and it's no coincidence. And when someone said open sesame, what were they opening? And Steve continues, they were opening the treasures of the genies. Remember, the Jinn are, in fact, fallen angels. So this language is a way to unlock the treasures of the fallen angels. And he goes on to include this information. For the unseen creatures, there are again two basic groups that the Quran mentions. One is the angels, and the second is the jinn. Some people may wonder what the word jinn means, and if it has an equivalent in English. To my understanding, there is no single word in English that would give the proper and complete meaning of jinn as understood by Muslims, except to say that they are unseen creatures. However, to understand it better in English, we can subdivide jinn into two main groups, believers and unbelievers. Believing jinn would be just as good as angels or as good as human believers. The unbelieving jinn, however, are the ones that we usually refer to as Satan, and also a term that appears in the Quran about the first of those unbelieving jinn, Iblis. When we use Satan or Iblis, we are talking particularly about the first Satan, the one who tempted Adam and Eve in paradise. Now, the League of Satan, his descendants, and helpers until today are called Satans or devils. And Steve goes on to say that SESAMI is an acronym that stands for the Synchrotron Light for Experimental Science and Applications in the Middle East. And the 1001 Arabian Nights Open Sesame is what opens the Cave of Treasures, wherein dwells a genie and his lamp. So carrying on to the next page here, Steve says, so what they're telling you in the name is that they're going to open up the Cave of Treasures, or in physics language, it would be the same thing as the subatomic version of forbidden fruit. You see how I'm saying that? Danos is right. When it came to the forbidden fruit in the Bible, it says that in the day that you partake of that, your eyes will be open. It was a fallen angel or cherub, really, Satan, then that caused man to fall because man wanted that forbidden knowledge. And today, history is repeating itself because these scientists are also seeking that forbidden knowledge. And Daniel says that makes perfect sense. So do you believe that all of those atom smashers all over the world are controlled by the Luciferians or the elite? Steve replies, yes, I do. You think it's a joint effort and not standalone experiments of different countries or cooperatives? I do, and I'll tell you why. There are 72 demon gates in the kingdom of hell. Now, I've been told by my sources that there are 72 ionospheric heaters like HARP, the High Frequency Active Auroral Array Program, around the world, and there are also 72 cyclotronic particle accelerators. And they all have to do with the opening of the stargates. All of them. Daniels replies, that is very interesting. I know about a few other colliders. The one in the UK comes to mind, but I had no idea about this one in the Middle East. And it really makes sense that these colliders are dispersed throughout the world, given your observation about them being part of a locking mechanism to the gates of hell. I bring up the LHC specifically because I've heard it said, and Anthony Patch has done extensive research on this, that those CERN scientists are actually using a functional quantum computer, and have been for a while. And Steve affirms that. And Daniel continues, in conjunction with their experiments at the LHC, I think that their efforts are having other far-reaching effects around the world that people aren't aware of or even understand. CERN has put a lid on the information coming out of the LHC these days. Sure, you get public affairs stuff. Propaganda, really. But where they were freely sharing information on their experiments in the years right after their startup, albeit many of the numbers are doctored, according to Anthony Patch, now the information flow is very limited and edited. But we are seeing strange things happening throughout the world, and I can't help but point right back to the world's largest machine, the LHC, as the cause of some of what's going on. And I will just stop here for a moment to say this is where things really start to get very interesting and dovetail into our wheelhouse as the conversation starts getting into gravitational waves, the impact of that on time, the manipulation of space-time and reality, and so very exciting as we move forward here. If you remember the history of the LHC, they had a catastrophic failure when they first tried turning it on. The story was that the particle beams were misaligned and sliced through the tubes and other stuff, so they had to shut down the machine for a few years to make repairs. During that shutdown, many people began to verbalize their concerns with the LHC regarding one particular issue, black holes. It was feared at the time that the LHC's collision could generate a black hole that would suck up the Earth. Black holes are extremely dense, compact objects with a mass range anywhere between 4 to 170 million times the mass of our Sun. While black holes are generally huge, it's completely possible, at least in theory, that a small amount of matter, on the order of tens of micrograms, could be packed densely enough to make a black hole. This would be an example of a microscopic black hole. And I have to say, that brings to mind the coverage of the show that we just did, War of the Worlds, with the black hole and everything that was going on there with the reset of time and the connection to the alteration of reality.
And it's going to factor into Donnie Darko when we come up with that one, too.
Absolutely. And Daniel continues, this concern over the LHC creating black holes was at the root of a lawsuit brought by one-time nuclear safety officer for CERN, Walter Wagner, and journalist Luis Sancho. They were laughed at for trying to save the world from an Earth-ending LHC-generated black hole. Now, add to this Stephen Hawking's thought on the issue. Even so, another theory developed by world-renowned astrophysicist Stephen Hawking predicts that even if a microscopic black hole formed inside of the LHC, it would instantly disintegrate, posing no threat to Earth's existence. In 1974, Hawking predicted that black holes don't just gobble stuff up. They also spit it out in the form of extremely high-energy radiation, known as Hawking radiation. According to the theory, the smaller the black hole, the more Hawking radiation it expels into space, eventually wasting away to nothing. Therefore, a microscopic black hole, being the smallest kind, would disappear before it could wreak havoc and destruction. This could also be why we've never seen a micro black hole. And carrying on, Daniel says, according to reports from just after the restart of the LHC in 2008, no mini black holes were detected. However, they have since retooled that machine and are now running at much higher speeds. How would the public know if mini black holes were produced by the collisions if CERN scientists didn't detect them, or if they did, didn't disclose them? But my point is that even Hawking thought that mini black holes had consequences, albeit small ones. I believe that one of those small consequences, a byproduct of the LHC experiments, is that the machine creates gravitational waves. And for those folks who have been paying attention to the Open Scroll, we've talked a lot about gravity being caused by the warping of time and the connection between gravity and time. So it's exciting stuff here. So Daniel continues, just a few years ago, the first gravitational waves were observed sweeping over our planet. Ripples in space-time caused by the violent mergers of black holes have been detected, 100 years after these gravitational waves were predicted by Albert Einstein's theory of general relativity, and a half a century after physicists set out to look for them. According to his theory, Einstein, space and time form a stretchy fabric that bends under heavy objects, and to feel gravity is to fall along the fabric's curves. But can the space-time fabric ripple like the skin of a drum? Einstein flip-flopped, confused as to what his equations implied. But even steadfast believers assume that, in any case, gravitational waves would be too weak to observe. They cascade outward from certain cataclysmic events, alternately stretching and squeezing space-time as they go. But by the time the waves reach Earth from these remote sources, they typically stretch and squeeze each mile of space by a minuscule fraction of the width of an atomic nucleus. And then Daniel goes on to say, the point is that one, gravitational waves affect ripples in the fabric of space-time, and two, they occur as a result of cataclysmic events in the universe, such as black holes. If you're not a science nut and not paying attention to what the LHC experiments are really trying to accomplish, you will not understand the violence or catastrophe on a small, controlled scale that is routinely conducted there in the name of science. They are literally smashing atoms together at just below the speed of light. Maybe even at the speed of light. Talk about violence. Talk about catastrophe on a small scale. I believe that the LHC could also be generating these gravitational waves on a small scale. As a consequence, because of those mini gravitational waves rolling across the planet, the fabric of space-time on Earth has been changed. I think that's worth reading again. As a consequence, because of those mini gravitational waves rolling across the planet, the fabric of space-time on Earth has been changed. I think that there are time ripples that are occurring now in our space-time. And he goes on to say, when we spoke about frequency in the last chapter, you mentioned how magma and geological forces under the crust of the Earth are causing a change of frequency above the ground, as well as other outside solar forces. And I agree with you. I think all those things are affecting the frequency on the Earth. But I think that these gravitational waves are affecting the frequency as well as our sense of time. People intuitively know something is off, but they just can't put their finger on it. And now Steve jumps in. I think here's what's happening. Our brains see images like in a movie projector, one frame at a time that is all put together, one after another, to cause motion. But it's the brain that provides the interpretation of those images. In other words, the perception of motion lies within the brain and not actually in the moving object that you are perceiving. It's a matter of what our brain is interpreting and not what's actually occurring. Does that make sense? And Daniel says, sure. And Steve carries on. So here's my point. I think gravity is what holds frequency and other forms of matter together. As a consequence, if those gravitational waves are imperceivably occurring, then it is changing the frequency. Different frequencies, different matter, different perception. The full ramifications of CERN's experiments and other cyclonic particle accelerators around the world is something that we may never know. However, we need to understand that these implications are absolutely supernatural, even though there are physical actions causing them. That's because they are affecting both our physical 3D world and the unseen supernatural world that these scientists are trying to rip into. And they continue on here, and this is where it continues to get really good, the manipulated reality section. The phenomenon known as the Mandela Effect has two sides of the debate for those who are aware of it. Some people say that our reality has actually been changed. Other people think that the way that people have misremembered events are simple false memories that have been implanted in society. However, if true, and these memories are just false, how can millions of people remember exactly the same false event, or fact, all the way down to the minutest details? And if the Mandela Effect is simply a product of mind control, that's almost more disturbing than our reality actually being changed. To help wrap your head around this phenomenon, the following is an excellent write-up. The Mandela Effect refers to a situation in which a large mass of people believes that an event occurred when it did not. Looking at the origin of the Mandela Effect, some famous examples, as well as some potential explanations for this strange confluence of perceptions, can help to shed light on this unique phenomenon. And I think most people are familiar with the concept of the Mandela Effect. So the two examples that we'll point out, first from Star Wars, Luke, I am your father. If you saw Star Wars Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back, you probably remember Darth Vader uttering the famous line, Luke, I am your father. You might be surprised to learn, then, that the line was actually, No, I am your father. Most people have memories of the line being the former rather than the latter. And the next example, Mirror, Mirror on the Wall. If you watched Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, you probably remember the line, Mirror, Mirror on the Wall, who's the fairest of them all? You may be shocked to learn, then, that the line actually began with the phrase, Magic Mirror on the Wall, instead. And that just doesn't even sound right. And then they carry on with some more examples, but we'll pick up here. These are only a few pop culture examples of the Mandela Effect. There are many more, and some with serious and broad implications on our perception of events in our timeline. However, books could be written on this subject alone, and time does not allow us to delve deeper. The point in bringing this issue to your attention is to help you understand just how things in our world are changing in the end times. Daniel and Steve address this issue from both sides of the argument. And Daniel says, I believe that one of the byproducts of the LHC's experiments is the Mandela Effect. I'm not a physicist, but I think that these gravitational waves that we spoke about earlier are causing the timeline in our reality to split. Whether they meant to change things or they didn't is a different issue, but I believe that the phenomenon is real. And Steve replies, I do believe that the fabric of civilization hangs in the balance, and I think that this is another thing that Jesus was talking about when he was speaking about the end times. You know way more about the Mandela Effect than I do, because you've looked into it, and I initially dismissed it. But I believe you're seeing a time dilation and compression, two different worlds. One tightens up and one releases, and what we are seeing is the very nature of our reality changing. And Daniel responds, So you think it's our perception of reality that's changing and not the actual reality changing? Yep, I think it's our perception that's changing. In other words, the illusion of events into facts changing is taking a stronger hold of our brain than empirical reality. Empirical realities are those physical things that you can touch, smell, hear, and see. And Daniel responds, "That doesn't surprise me because we've had this conversation before, but I wanted to get our discussion on the record and take this issue head on. I think too many people have brushed the Mandela effect aside. There are people that are seeing this phenomenon and are concerned about it, but no one, except for a few, are actually talking about it. Those that are talking about it are not dealing with it from a biblical worldview, and in my opinion, that's dangerous. The Bible and the Holy Spirit inside of us are the only realness that we can base our lives on to see us through these days. Now notice what I said. I said the Bible and the Holy Spirit inside of us. I wrestle with the idea that it's not just our perception that's changing. There are tons of examples of the Mandela effect all around. Most of them come from pop culture, but there are other changes that are important. People are seeing this and they're saying, what the heck is this? And Steve responds, you're using a word there. You said what they're seeing. They are seeing or perceiving this, but are their perceptions accurate, or are those just images? As an example, one of the wars that will be fought in the near future is to determine between original human thought as opposed to implanted projected thoughts. Empiric reality is being replaced by a digital phantom reality. They are taking away the first to establish the second. This is the essence of the devil's plans. Not only is he physically corrupting the world through DNA and such, but he's also corrupting our very thoughts. Yes, through sin, but also corrupting what we perceive is real or not. Every foundation that God has created out of love for his creation, Satan is trying to destroy. So it's not necessarily what the event is, it's how you see the event and how you interpret the event that ultimately determines the outcome of the event. And Daniel replies here, I hear what you're saying, and in fact, a lot of people have looked at this phenomenon and said something similar, but I have a different view. I believe that there are physical changes going on to our timeline. For those people that hold this view, who is doing it and why they're doing it is up for debate, but I think the evidence shows that something is happening. Now, I can't prove this, obviously, but I think this change of our timeline may well be a result of those gravitational waves being put out by the LHC and those other accelerators. In fact, that would be an interesting research endeavor to find out if those machines are running at the same time in other parts of the world. And Daniel continues by saying, one thing with regard to this issue that you and I can agree on is the part in the Word where it says that God Himself would write His Word on our minds and on our hearts. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Hebrews 10:16. And now we'll skip down to the end of this page where Steve responds in relation to the Mandela effect and the name by saying, I think there's probably a better moniker to put on this phenomenon, like asking the question, is there a warp in the space-time continuum? And carrying on, Daniel responds, the very heart of the devil is deception. It's who he is. It's what he does. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy, the Bible says. Jesus said that he is the father of lies. I think the Mandela effect is just another way he's trying to accomplish all of that. Regardless if this is a mind control issue or a real alteration in our reality, understand that the very ground on which we have always stood is shifting from beneath our feet. Our end times reality will be far different than the one in which we grew up in. The Mandela effect aside, big changes are coming. And now they get into a discussion of the dimensional division, the power grid, and ley lines. So they're going to wrap up on a more exciting note here in this section. People generally balk at the idea of scientists experimenting with and manipulating certain pillars of physical reality, whether that be gene splicing, artificial intelligence, or nuclear fusion. But in the last couple of decades, a new twist on this modern Island of Dr. Moreau-style narrative has surfaced in the form of scientists experimenting on high-velocity elementary particles, such as the CERN Hadron Collider and other quantum enigmas. Laser physicists recently chortled, "Hold my beer," in announcing that they are developing a laser so powerful it can shred all matter, including the very electrons and nuclei that constitute the fabric of reality itself. What is the purpose of using lasers to rip a hole in space-time? Previous laser experiments have sought to discover virtual particles, extra dimensions, and even dark matter. Last year, Chinese scientists used a 100 petawatt laser, 10,000 times more energy than there is in all the world's electrical grids combined, to try and produce electrons out of the quantum ether by separating them from their antimatter twins. For now, it appears we're going to have to trust that scientists know what they're doing with the fabric of reality. Hold on a second. Wasn't ripping a hole in the fabric of reality supposed to just be a storyline from a Daniel Holdings fiction novel? Or a shock jock subject that longtime radio show host Steve Quayle brings up to get a rise out of the audience? No, this is very real. Here at the end of the age, scientists are literally tearing holes in the fabric of our reality, purportedly for scientific pursuits. Daniel and Steve think that those scientists' efforts are quite different from what is being reported. And Daniel goes on to say, Steve, you've reported on how people are now seeing the strangest things. You've just touched on a few of them. Would you say that this weirdness that we're now seeing in the world today, and even the madness of people, the rage, is a direct result of the breakdown between dimensions? And Steve says, I wouldn't say that those things are a result of the breakdown of dimensions necessarily. There is no question that the laws of physics are being violated. For instance, if you're talking about invisibility, you're dealing with various electromagnetics and waveforms of light. But men are tampering with that dimensional divide. As an example, CERN is tampering with the very fabric of creation. In doing this, they're tearing down the barriers that God put in place to keep those fallen entities from overcoming us in our own dimension. Daniel says, so those scientists at CERN and other deep black projects that we know nothing about, do they know what they're doing? Do they know that they're putting humanity in peril? I'm sure that they understand that to some degree, but at the highest levels of those projects, they're under orders to accomplish certain milestones. They can't help but see the results of their work. But remember this, Daniel. When you're dealing with multi-billion dollar projects and the whole world lies in the hands of the evil one, they absolutely know. They that control the money control the world. Those people at the very top fund all of this stuff for one purpose. The ultimate goal is the physical return of Satan to Earth, along with all of his armies in order to make war against the Lamb, Jesus, and his followers. And then Daniel responds by asking the question, so what's the breaking point? At what point in their experiments do they say, okay, let's just hit the big switch and get it done? Are we getting close to that? And Steve responds, well, there's stuff going on right now. Are these events a result of them throwing that big switch? I don't know. For instance, I think we're in the middle of a pole shift right now, and the coordinated energizing of the ley lines across the Earth, where the Earth's magnetic fields come together, and the pyramid structures both on top of the surface of the Earth and in the oceans cannot be discounted. They are starting to show activity. According to one of my other sources, who gets all kinds of data I've told you about, according to him, they are all starting to show activity. Why? This is because of that dimensional rift. I sent my source a list of several areas because I wanted to find out if they were beginning to show signs of activity. Yonaguni off of Okinawa, the suspected location of Atlantis, Zealandia and Hyperborea, all the legendary places. The source said, Steve, it's funny. Two U.S. submarines were just dispatched within the last week, one to the suspected area of Atlantis and one to the Yonaguni. And Steve concludes by saying, those are places where giant pyramids are known to exist under the water.
Thanks, Aaron. Yeah, if you're pretty familiar with our work, you know we talk about the Great Pyramid and how it's like a secret weapon that Satan has up his sleeve to pull out and throw down Big Trump. And it's not going to be enough. Revelation 19:19, look it up yourself. But it's going to give him hope to pull these things off. And our interest with the ley lines and the pyramid is because the Great Pyramid is really a central, very iconic structure right at the heart of that whole network. And it's not only an Earth network, it's interplanetary. And this is something that a lot of different people have documented. And ancient mounds and other structures are also involved. Cathedrals are built over these places as harvest centers. And the point is that this Great Pyramid is a time-space weapon, like Joseph P. Farrell calls it. It's a Giza Death Star, but it's far more than that. It's time-space that's being manipulated. And it's an ancient technology that's been largely dismantled, but still there is a functionality to it, we believe, and we, I think, presented a fair amount of quality research on it. It's not a calendar for no reason. If all the other dimensional analogs are there for the manipulation of space, then why is there a calendar? What's with all the time features there? There's quite a few time features, but the calendar itself is very, very significant. What's the point if it's not also a dimensional analog for the manipulation of time? And certainly, those time features of the calendar are largely still intact. So these things that they talk about feature really technologies of the day. And these technologies are important, but I think equally important are the rituals that are being done. One isn't in existence without the other. There was some mention of a ritual sacrifice that was done at the CERN headquarters there. And why would they do something like that? Isn't it kind of risky? Well, it is to do it out in the open, but there's so much of the rest of the rituals done in secret that we can't document, but we see evidence of. And this is real, and this is happening all over. It's these ritual sacrifices that take place largely on the pagan holy days that have a huge impact. And all the rituals that have been done in media, all the symbolism that's making magic a part of our everyday reality, all this has an impact. It's all influential. And it's all really towards the same goal. And we understand a strategy that isn't brought up, but the manipulation of time has happened, and it skewed the prophetic timeline. And we talk at length about that in many of the writings and the videos that we've done in the past. And this is why time has to be reset back into the past to not just bring a correction to the corrupted timeline. This is something that's been prophesied from the beginning. It's in the Bible. And this has to be brought to its end, where time gets reset back and then things unfold on the biblical schedule. And this has to be done. All salvation depends on it. And of that, we're quite convinced. And if you're thinking that we don't really have any evidence, well, we don't have any proof, but we have a lot of evidence, and we presented it at length. And it, just continues to resonate in everything we're seeing all around us. And it's hard to deny, like for many of us, the Mandela effect is just so in our faces. Oscar Mayer, there is one, Meyer. Seriously, remember the little jingle where it's spelled out? My baloney has a first name, it's Oscar. Right? Something like that. He has a second name. It's Mayer. Spelled right out in the jingle. Hello. Never Meyer. Wizard of Oz, Scarecrow has a gun. Really? A revolver? Never. So many of these things just seem so absurd to us. But the more absurd thing, I think, is all those people who are Mandela effect deniers who just reject that. If you got two witnesses and they both agree, take them in separate rooms, whatever, and they agree on the details of something, you ought to believe them. There's hundreds of thousands, millions who bear testimony about what they believe about Mandela effect kinds of things. How can you reject that? It makes no sense at all. That's absurd to reject that. Maybe for you personally, you don't remember anything of the kind, but you can't re reject. I mean, honestly, you can't reject the testimony of all these witnesses that agree on this thing. There is a reality to it. And this is something that cannot stand. One of the famous Bible effects, of course, has to do with the passage in Isaiah that talks about the lion laying down with the lamb. And now, of course, it's not the lion, except there's so much residue on that and so much residue on so many of the others that you really can't deny it. There wouldn't be residue if there wasn't something to it. And yeah, that's what's going on here. Lots of craziness. Time is skewed, and we are so looking forward to seeing our hope fulfilled. And it will be. The Lord Jesus Christ is faithful. His promises will stand. Aaron, do you have any last words, commentary?
Yeah, the one thing that came to mind as you were talking there was something the Lord brought back in 2015 when we were trying to make sense of what we were seeing then. And in Matthew 24, it talks about those days being cut short. And he had me obsessing over those days for a long time. It's like, those days, what days? And the answer finally came, the days when Satan has control of time. Those are the days that have to be cut short, the days we're living in right now.
Thanks, Aaron. God bless you, everybody. Bye-bye.